The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. And you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Ross Briley, John Babb and James Millman in the studio. It's Musselburgh and Southwell in the afternoon. We have Carlisle and Bangor on Dee in the evening. And there's also racing over in Ireland on Tuesday evening as well from Ballinrobe. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to Tuesday's action is Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
Hi, Mark Walton. Yeah, all right, thanks, mate.
Yeah. Good.
Ticking along.
Nice. Good weekend of racing. Another good weekend coming up next week. It's all good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it was an okay weekend of racing. Yeah,
busy enough.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean it's good though, does it?
Well, some of it was good.
It was a. It's a relatively low key Saturday in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah,
apart from the Irish Oaks, obviously stood out. It was a pretty run of the mill Saturday in the grand scheme of things. But okay. Very much looking forward to the. King George, and then next week goes crazy again, doesn't it? Galway, Goodwood.
Yeah.
It's, you need that. Saturday was a bit of a breather, I think, before it all kicks off again over the next couple of weeks.
You need the lows to realise the highs, don't you?
You do. When are your highs coming? Oh dear.
What we're going to do is we're going to have a look at the Monday jury in the Racing Post because that reflects on the weekend action and also has a little bit of a look ahead to some of the future racing. And then we're going to get Ross's three selections for Tuesday's action. So starting with the Monday jury, Ross, does Tagruder have a too tall an order in order to win the King George?
Does Tagruder have too tall an order? Yes. I think she does. I think it's asking a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Fair play. You know, have a crack and all that, but I'd be pretty surprised. She's going to have a work cut out. I mean, she's going to have a work cut out running against the rest of the 3-year-old fillies in the Irish Oaks. Never mind against the older colts as well. And bearing in mind that Bracelet went on to win the Irish Oaks and beat all the horses that Tagruder had beat at Epsom,
mm-hmm.
and Bracelet won the Ribblesdale about 2.5 seconds slower than Telescope won his race at Royal Ascot, suggests that there's going to be a big gap between the two. And I mean it's great for the race because you want to see a variety of different form lines and horses lining up against each other, but I do think she is biting off a little bit more than she can chew. That said, she's trained by John Gosden and he pulls rabbits out of hats on a regular basis.
Mm. If she does win it, then she'd be quite a filly, wouldn't she?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, it would be one of the performances of the last few years, for sure. And we've seen John Gosden do it with the Fugue over the past couple of years as well. She could quite easily... She could quite easily build on her form at Epsom, though, and still get beat. So... I think she does have a little bit too much to do, but again, it's a fascinating angle for the race.
Yeah, and we're on the subject of the King George, well, just to throw in a bit of extra news, Macadram also in the lineup, so he's going to be double-handed, Sheikh Andam Alec Toon.
Macadram, I think I'd rather back Tagruder than Macadram, though. I mean, he's a good horse, Macadram, but I just don't think Ascot plays his strengths at all, so... I think that'd be the worry for him.
Okay. One of the more impressive winners over the weekend was Tiggy Wiggy. Would you pitch her into an all-aged Group 1, in the Nunthorpe, or what would you do with her, Ross?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Because it can get a bit boring, really, when you see the 2-year-olds just racing against each other, and when you get one or two that are so much better. And especially as horses keep... they keep getting retired... as 2-year-olds and horses that they have a brief burst of ability and then they disappear. So if they're gonna come and go in the blink of an eye, you might as well try and have a crack at something special while you're here. It was an incredible performance at the weekend, ridden like the best horse in the race, admittedly, And I did get the feeling that the rest of them, she's just running. She's running better races. She had more experience. She had the form in the book.
Yep.
And she had the gears to be able to put everyone else under pressure early. And that's not necessarily going to be the case against the older sprinters because they are more used to that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not run a bad race all season. Richard Hannah's got the four best two-year-olds in this year in his yard. So if he thinks she's good enough, why the hell not?
Yeah. Just reading on Monday morning before we recorded this, they're also considering the Abbey, a long shot. And also, they haven't ruled out going to the Lowther, and that's obviously against the two-year-olds at the Ebor meeting. So still plenty of options with her. If she was yours, you'd have a crack at the Nunthorpe?
I wouldn't not have a crack at the Nunthorpe, put it that way.
Okay.
I think it's if they think she's good enough. The problem is when you start. Do you start? I think she'd be better. I think she'd be better with the Abbey, personally. As I just think her, if she gets a low draw in the Abbey, she could be away and gone.
Yeah.
Before they even see which way she's gone. She's gone. And fillies do really well in the Abbey as well. Over the past few years, they've had a good record.
Yeah, 2-year-olds don't.
No, true, but then a very few of them would ever try.
As good as... Well, yeah, I suppose, yeah.
So, I don't know. It's fascinating because she's already had a fantastic season. If you owned a horse, you'd be happy. And it stopped now. If you owned Tiki Wiki, you'd be happy.
Mm.
It's been a great year.
Yeah. Okay. How do you see the Irish Oaks form panning out?
Oh, I don't know, really. I mean, I wasn't particularly surprised that Bracelet beat the fillies from the Oaks. As I was very impressed with the way she went about it in the Ribblesdale.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's that much between the horses. I didn't think the Epsom race was completely bomb-proof form necessarily, and it Togruta was impressive, but obviously the most impressive horse in the field didn't turn up for the Irish version. I don't know, really. Tarfasha seemed to run slightly below par. But it was running a decent gallop, and volume, I suppose, is that volume finished third in the Epsom Oaks, finished third in the Irish Oaks. Seems like form you can rate around her. And Bracelet was one of the first horses earlier in the season when Aidan O'Brien's horses, they take like 6 weeks to get going. She was the only high-profile winner. She was inconvenienced by the 1,000 guineas, the way that race unfolded. But since they popped a hood on her, she's won two mile and a half group races, and I think if you were going to back the front two would be of interest. I think volume's probably found a level. I think Tarfasha might in hindsight have been a little bit flattered by her race position at Epsom, but yeah, Bracelet and Tapestry both potentially have a bit of extra to give, but I don't know. It wasn't the strongest race you've ever seen in your life, but I think the winner deserved to win it.
Okay. Do you expect Al-Kazim to progress from his reappearance run?
I think he'll have to, yeah. He blew up. He clearly blew up.
Well, it was always going to be hard, wasn't it, against race-fit horses after such a long absence?
Well, yeah, especially when, you know, he spent the past few months leisurely mounting fillies, as it were. And then you're coming back having to race.
Yeah.
It's like going away for a dirty weekend and then trying to run a half marathon on the Monday.
Yes.
Fair enough, you know. It's take him a while to get back into it.
Yeah. Plus, I suppose his mood will be a bit dampened as well. Getting told you're sub-fertile must be quite a blow.
Yeah. There's a lot, you know, it's a lot to take in, really. But he travelled like the best horse in the race up to a point, and then he blew up. He raced quite wide throughout as well. He did a lot of running to actually get into that position.
Yeah.
I thought it was a hugely encouraging comeback. I mean, he was backed smash off the boards because people were like, but it's Al-Kazim, but he's a Group 1 horse. But he got into a real rhythm last year and started winning Group 1s. And he's had to start all over again. So yes, I think he will definitely come on for that.
Yeah. Okay, then penultimate question of this week's Monday Jory. Where is the value in the market for Ascot's International Handicap?
Elsewhere. Well, they've made Horsted Keane's favourite again, obviously, which is no great surprise as Jamie Spencer got dogs abuse for his ride in Royal Ascot, which I thought was a little bit unjustified. There was a few of them that week that caught the eye for negative reasons, but I don't think Horsted Keane's was one of them. Bronze Angel very much bounced back to form last time. I think Gabriel's Ladder will be better returned to this track. Absolutely so. Keeps running well. But I'd probably take the two out of the Bunbury Cup. Or take two out of the Bunbury Cup. Absolutely So was one of them in the Bunbury Cup. But I think Heaven's Guest was the way that horse burst out of the pack last time out suggests that he's very much back to form, and he's got course and distance winning form as well. Richard Farhey's horses continue to be in great nick. And the other one is Georgian Bay, who just keeps getting bad luck in these big races. He wasn't in a good position at Royal Ascot when he ran in the Victoria Cup, and then in the Buckingham Palace he wasn't in a great position either, and he wasn't in a great position in the Bunbury Cup either, and racing all on his own on the other side. I don't think he's had the race run to suit at all since he won at Kempton, and he's sort of a 33-40 to one shot, I think. So Heaven's Guest is of interest, but I do think Georgian Bay's got something in there, and I think granted a bit of luck he'll certainly outrun his price.
Okay, good stuff. Nice bit of value there then. And the final question this week: who was the most eye-catching in defeat over the weekend?
Well, there's quite a few, really. Not, I didn't think there was anything sort of, well, you know, this, I'll back this next time I win a group race kind of performance. But there was just a couple in handicaps on the Saturday I thought were a bit unlucky. And also Smiling Stranger in the first at Newbury as well. He's tried to lead all the way twice at Newbury, which is incredibly hard on the round course, and he's got beaten on the line in both those events. First off by Connecticut, who went on to win a good race at York, and then last time by Saab Almanal at the weekend, who finished only four lengths behind the Grey Gatsby in the Dante. So I think he's just been an unlucky horse. He got beaten at Long Odds on at Pontefract, but that was over a mile and a half. I think he's got a 10 furlong maiden absolutely laid out for him at some point. They just keep running him at the wrong track over the wrong trip, but he will find it eventually. And the other one was a horse called Shuranor at Ripon, who finished second to Border Bandit over a mile, dropped back in trip, been running over 10 furlongs with David O'Mara, dropped back to a mile. Josh Doyle, inexperienced rider, was on board, taking £7 off. He got in a right mess down the home straight, and the horse rattled home to finish second. I think sticking to a mile, that horse has got a 0-80 written all over it as well. So, yeah, Smiling Stranger and Sure and all both winning the tracker.
Okay, good stuff. That's someone to Jerry for another week. Just a little bit of news to add before we move on to Tuesday's racing. Eagle Top has been added to the lineup in the King George. They paid the £75,000 supplementary fee this morning. So another one into the lineup. It's turning out to be, it's going to be a cracker, isn't it, the King George?
Yeah, and again, fair play for people to having a crack. John Gosden's not only, De Gruyter's gone in.
Yep.
Eagle Top's gone in. Two top class 3-year-olds. Good stuff.
We've got that to look forward to. We've also got Tuesday's racing, and we'll get Ross's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
All right then, Ross has picked out three races for us, starting up at Musselburgh in the 2:30, and we start with the Class 4 Maiden Stakes here over the extended 7 furlongs for 2-year-olds, and four of them in the lineup here. Ross, I'm guessing something must have caught your eye here.
No, it's one of the newcomers. on the form, it's a two-horse race. I mean, this Bizarro would have a chance as well, given Mark Johnson's runners this season, especially at Musselburgh. But I get the feeling they're going to make Henry the Aeroplane the favourite after his good run at Haydock on rain soft and ground behind stablemate Lieutenant Caffey. And it was a very nice performance by Henry the Aeroplane. Now, both Epithet, who was beaten odds on into fourth that day, and Lieutenant Caffey, who won that a race since Lieutenant Caffey wasn't good enough to get involved in the July Stakes, and Epithet disappointed in a handicap. I'm just not entirely convinced about the overall worth of that form, but I think because he ran so well, they'll probably make him favourite, which means that John Quinn's Moonlight Navigator might well be the value. I thought he ran a really nice race at York behind what potentially is a very talented horse in the shape of Flaming Spear. The second, Lady Gemini, had run well in a half-decent maiden at Bath before that, so I think that form is strong. And I think with that run under its belt, step up to 7 furlongs is pretty much ideal for Moonlight Navigator. So I thought, assuming that Henry the Aeroplane does get sent off the favourite, which I think he probably will do, I think Moonlight Navigator will be the value.
Okay. Moonlight Navigator then to take on likely favourite Henry the Aeroplane in the 2:30 at Musselburgh. And then we're going to go to Carlisle for Ross's next two selections, starting in the 7:10 there. And this is a Class 5 handicap for three-year-olds over the extended 5 furlongs, well, 5.5 furlongs pretty much. What do you like here then, Ross?
Yeah, it's a pretty low-grade sprint handicap. So nothing to get too excited about. Another Royal's been running well. Although just can't seem to get ahead in front. Beaten favourite at Redcar behind a pretty disappointing type, and it wasn't bad at Catterick last time out, but it wasn't any improvement, and she seemed to peak at the back end of last season and can't seem to get back to that form really, which would worry me a little bit. But then that's probably the best piece of form on offer, but I think Secret Applause has a little bit more to come here. She managed to get ahead in front at Newcastle last season for the Michael Dodds stable, and it's just starting to creep down the handicap despite running quite well in better races. She's running two Class 5s the last couple of starts. She finished a few lengths behind Pushkin Museum over at Newcastle in a strongly run race, and then she was sixth last time out over at Ripon in what I thought was certainly a better race than this anyway, that's for sure. She just seems like a horse who's been struggling against better horses, and I don't think this is much of a race really. Centre half would also be mildly interesting for David Barron. Again, another horse who has been running in Class 3s and 4s and can't seem to get its head in front, but he's down in grade. So I think Centre half and Secret Applause would fight it out, but Secret Applause gets the edge.
Okay, Secret Applause then in the 7:10 at Carlisle, and the 8:10 at Carlisle is where we will finish. This is a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs and 200 yards, so almost a mile. It's for 3-year-olds and older, and Jacob Black down at the bottom of the works, so looks fairly interesting. Had a couple of starts for Clive Cox last year without cutting too much ice. Moved to Keith Dalgleish and won over a mile on debut for that yard last time, stepping up in trip from 6 and 7 furlongs. Stays over that kind of trip into handicap company here, Ross. Exposed, is he the one that you side with here, or do you take him on?
Well, I think most people are going to side with him, so I'll probably take him on. As you said, he was quite impressive over at Hamilton, but again, it's a pretty bad race that he won.
Yeah,
I'm not getting carried away with the form, that's for sure. He's been given a mark of 76. There could be more to come, but I think again he's going to get back because he's an unexposed 3-year-old, but obviously he gets the allowances, but I still think the form's that good. Noish is quite interested as well. First start for Ollie Pears after being sold from the Jim Bolger yard. It's quite hard to sort of improve on from the Bolger team though, but this horse has been running quite consistently. I think it's about time Toto Skylacky got his head in front this season. You know what you get with him. He's always been a talented fast ground mile around the likes of Beverly and also Carlisle. He ran in the Carlisle Bell on his penultimate run and couldn't quite get into it. And then last time out, Talent Scout made all, and he couldn't get close to the eventual winner. But the second, Kingscroft's come out and run a really nice race, and I think that form's pretty strong. And it's just at some point he will crop up, Toto Skylacky, and he could get the race run to suit here. So I think just an edge, just a slight preference for him, even though he is by far the oldest horse in the field.
Yeah, 9 years of age now, but has won off higher marks in the past. If he's got any of that ability left, then
yeah,
one day he's going to pop up and make a fool of his mark, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's off a mark of 81. He's £10 lower than he was last year at this time of year. So he'll bounce back, and it might well be at Carlisle.
Okay, good stuff, Ross. Let's just have a quick summary, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yeah, Moonlight Navigator in the 2:30. Secret Applause in the 7:10. And Toto Skylacky in the 8:10.
Okay, good stuff, Ross. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Oh, I will.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ross Briley on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. And Ross will be in the studio with John Barb and James Millman. It's Musselburgh and Southwell on Tuesday afternoon, Carlisle and Bangor in the evening domestically. And we also have racing from Ireland on Tuesday evening as well from Ballinrobe. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.